Okay, so we're on daf Yud Gimel tonight. So in yesterday's daf, this is on Yud Beis Amud Beis, we learned in the Mishnah that that Shola Pishtanom in a Mishra B'chulei, that a person can draw his flax from like the soaking vat on Chol HaMoed, but provided that he's not mechaving his malacha for the Moed. In other words, if he intends, in other words, he arranges that he's going to do the work on Chol HaMoed. So then the Tanna of the Mishnah says, Kulan kivdu malacha moed yovdu. So it either means that the Bezim will come and take the property away from him, or it's just Asur. He can't get any benefit from it. Alpi halacha. So two lines from the bottom on Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Vishola Pishtanom in a Mishra of Achulei. He has to draw his flax from the soaking vat. So by mine Rabbi Yirmiyah me Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmiyah posed the following question to Rabbi Zeira. Kibin malachta b'moed umeid ma'usha katsu bana b'achrab. Let's say the person, he acted wrongfully, and he, you know what, are you going to put on a mask or not? Okay, let me put on a mask as well, okay? So the Gemara says that, let's say a person, he acted not in accordance with halacha, and he arranged to do his malacha on Chol HaMoed. So now he's prohibited getting hana from it. But let's say then the person died, and now his son is around, and the question is, can the son benefit from the action, whatever it was? Let's say if it's Shola Pishtano, he had a lot of Pishtan, and he said, I don't care, I'm doing it during Chol HaMoed. And now the halacha is he can't get benefit from it, but now he's dead. So does the penalty, it's a rabbinic penalty, does that rabbinic penalty carry over to the son? Moshe Kansu Ben Avachrav. Now, the Gemara is going to look at some other similar cases in halacha to try to help us resolve this issue. So in Timsi Lomar, the top line in Yigimel and Aleph, in Timsi Lomar, it's here in Ozen before Kansu Ben Avachrav, Yifim Disur Doraitam. Now, there's another case in halacha that's if a person has a Bechor, so the Bechor has Kedusha from when it's born, it has to be given to a Kohen. So if the Kohen gets it, doesn't have a mum, he's got to bring this a korban, and certain parts get burnt on the Mizbeach. But if it has a mum, then it's his clear and free, and then without having to do anything. So he the Kohen, if he's not such a, you know, erlich a Kohen, would much rather have a Baal mum than one that's without mum. So the Gemara has a case of Sirim Ozen Bechor. Let's say a person put a nick in the ear of a Bechor and to create the mum. So the Gemara learns that there's a rabbinic penalty in place because he did that he can't benefit from the animal. So the Gemara has a question, what about his son? What would be the status of the son? If the person dies, what would the status? So the Gemara thinks, you might think that's a little analogous, but the Gemara wants to say, even if he would say, so in Timsi Lomar's heroes before Kansubun Akharab, even if in that machloket, you would assume, arguendo, that there was a penalty that extends to the son in the case of the Bechor, Mishum de Yisur Doraita. So over there, the person is violating the Yisur Doraita. In other words, the putting the mum in the Bechor is violating a din Torah. In other words, it's kumum lo yabo. So Chazal understand that there's a law from the Torah to put a mum in a Bechor. But here, by the halachot of Chol HaMoed, it would not be Doraita. Now, you would say, gee, but maybe Melech Chol HaMoed is Doraisa, but even if it's Doraisa, it may be Drabanan, but even, and this could be a proof for the Tzad that it's Drabanan, but even if you say it's Doraisa, but Doraisa, you won't be over on, it might be an essay you're over on, and even if you say it's a lav, it's a lav, it's not a lav you'd be Chayv Malkut on. So it would be less. Let me just take a look for a second. Let me see one second. Let me see what this. One second. Give me one second. One second. For a second. One second. Let's see here. Yeah. So it worked for me. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. So scratch what I said. Even if I say it's Doraisa, but Melechet Davar Ha'aved is definitely not Doraisa. In other words, so here, He the work would be being pulling the pishtan out. The only thing is, he's mechaving his malacha l'moed. That clearly is a din d'rabbanan. In other words, the fact that the malacha, if I'm doing malacha davar ha'aved, I'm not over on any Easter d'oraisa. Then at that point, it's clearly an Isur Derabanan. In other words, if it's underlying Melechet Davar Ha'aved, so I'm not going to be over on a Melechet, on any Doraisas by doing the Melechet Davar Ha'aved. But here, the Chachamim penalized me if I was Mechavim Melechet Lamoed, so I can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, so the two are distinguishable. In other words, unless you're Mechavim Melechet Lamoed. In other words, so here it's Melechet Davar Ha'aved, like Sholeh Pishtano Minabor, where Sholeh Pishtano Minha, what is it from Minah Mishra? So Sholeh Pishtano Minah Mishra, so that's Melechet Davar Ha'aved. But if he was Mechavim Melechet Lamoed, he knew about it, and I'm arranging it, this is what I'm going to do during Chol Hamoed. So then it's subject to rabbinic prohibition, but it's not a deraisa. Okay, so anyway, so that's distinguishable. Then on line two in the Gemara, and I'll pause in a number of lines. There's another halacha that we could think of, you know, analogizing it to, and that is if a person has an Eved Kanani, so he's admonished not to sell the Eved Kanani to a non-Jew because the Eved Kanani is went through Geirus, and the Eved Kanani won't be able to observe mitzvot if he has a non-Jewish owner. But if a person violated the halacha by selling his Eved Kanani to a non-Jew, so first we penalize him either to pay up to 10 times or maybe 100 times the amount to get him out of Avdus to buy him back. And secondly, if the Eved flees, then we force him to free him. In other words, he has to free the Eved. In other words, he's got a Kinyan Mamon over the Eved. He's got a Kinyan Easter also. So he's going to free him. So the question is, let's say a person wrongfully sold his Eved Kanani to a non-Jew, and then the person died. So now what? And then let's say the Eved escapes. So do we force the son to free the Eved? So there's a question of luck about that as well. But even if you assume that we would force the son to free the Eved, he says that's also distinguishable. Over there, in other words, by the Eved being with the non-Jew, so every day he's mufka from mitzvot. He can't observe mitzvot over there. Hakamai, but over here it's a different analysis. In other words, here where he did, there was the father did the malacha, he was becoming malacha to the moed, but it's not the same issue. Let's take a look. He says, right. So that's a different case over here. Okay, so let's see a little bit further in the Gemara. Yeah, it means that the act was so egregious because the Eved, when he's owned by the non-Jew, he can't do mitzvot anymore. So that's why there could be the kenas goes to the son as well. And it was such an egregious thing. Here's a different issue. He says, in other words, he says over here that although the son did not perform the act of selling, we penalize him, so the son will be encouraged to redeem the slave. In other words, we want to get him out of that mess. So we do it that way. Also, maybe the son will pay to have him free. He says, Hakamai, but what will be the din over here? So let's keep back in the Gemara a few more lines. He says, Hakamai, Gavra Kanis Rabbanan Haleita. Do we say that the Kanas was imposed against the wrongdoer? This is again with the flax. He says, Odilma Mamona Kanis Rabbanan Ba'itha. Or do I say the Kanas was imposed against the estate and the estate is still there? That's the question. Okay, everybody good so far in the cyber world? Everybody happy? Oh, I nearly forgot. Wait, second. Where's the sheet? Here it is. Yeah. Tonight's daf is sponsored by Debbie Wellner on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her sister, Rezel Bar Eliyahu, Zechrona Lebracha. All right. So learning tonight is the Lu Neshama of Rezel Bar Eliyahu. All right. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so that's the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah posed to Rabbi Zeira. Wait till I get the mission, then we'll take questions, okay? So Amalei Reb Zera says, Tanituah. We learn the answer to this in the following Mishnah Masechet Shviyot. It says, Sadesh Nekabtza B'Shviyot. If you have a Shemitah year, which is what we have right now, and the field was cleared of thorns, which is a violation to Rabbanan in the Shemitah year, he's around the Monsei Shviyot. It could be, sown the year following Shemitah. But Nitaiva Onidaira, But if it was fertilized, either the people fertilizing and bringing the manure and spreading it around owned the daira, or the animals were led over there and they're like sort of self-fertilizing, lo tizer on the Moshe Shemit. So it can't be planted on the following year Shemitah. But Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Nakinan Heitiva Umeit B'no Zorah. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says that we hold as our Mesorah that if a person wrongfully fertilized the field in the Shemitah year, each of these dinim are violations on a Derabbanan level. But the first violation, clearing the thorns, is not quite as egregious as fertilizing the field. So if you wrongfully fertilize the field, so he says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, that he tivu made, if he fertilized it and then he died, the no zora, that the son is free to sow the field. In other words, the penalty will only be against the father. So in that case, we see that the kenas was only imposed against the father who was the wrongdoer and not against the son.
So the
Gemara wants to say the same thing should pertain over here by a person who was machabin malach to lamoed. He intended to do his malach on chol lamoed. He figures, you know, like this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying, I have plenty of time on chol lamoed, I'll do it then. So then the penalty will only be vis-a-vis the father, not vis-a-vis the son. Now, Amar Abaye seeks to buttress this answer. He says, Nakinan means we have a Mesorah this way. You may remember this. I think it's in the fourth parak in Gittin. So the Gemara says, all these dinim they did, they darkened Shalom. So in Halakha, there's an idea. Let's say you have Taharot, you might have Truma, and I'm a Tami the Truma. And so I'm a Mazik. So that's Hezek Sheno Nikar. In other words, if I look at the video, it doesn't look like I did anything to the Truma. In other words, I was Tami and I touched it. It doesn't look like I did anything. So on a deraisa level, it's not compensable. But on a derabbanan level, they said you have to compensate the person for doing that. So here, he says, let's say a person, or even if the taharot were chulin, but I'm like reducing its usability. So if it's truma, now it can't be had, it can't be eaten by anybody. It's not worth much of anything. It can only be used as fuel. And if it's, even if it's taharot that are chulin, some people eat their chulin on taharot kodesh. So, but now fewer people can eat it. So he says, he made Taharot HaBemeit. Let's say Reuven was Matami Shimon's Taharot, and then Reuven, the wrongdoer, died. So that there's no Knas for the son afterwards, which is a similar idea we said. My time of why? Hezek Sheno Nikar, Lashme Hezek. On the Doraisa level, Hezek Sheno Nikar is not called Hezek. In other words, damage that I can't see is not called Hezek. But these are Kansu Rabbanan. So the Chachamim only penalized the wrongdoer, Lebrei Lo Kansu Rabbanan. They didn't extend it to the son. All right, so let's just summarize what we did, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said that there's a penalty for, you know, intentionally arranging your malacha to be done during Chol HaMoed, even if the malacha is Dav Malacha Davar Avid. Let's say you put flax that has to be soaked. So if I leave it in the vat too long, the flax will be destroyed. So that is malach tavar ha'aved, but I shouldn't be mechavi malach to for the moed. In other words, I shouldn't arrange for it to be soaked at that point in time. You know, if it happened, you know, when I couldn't help it, and this is what it was, it's one thing. But if I could have done it before the whole moed, and you know, then I should have done it then, or somehow whatever. I don't know how long the soaking process takes. Whatever it is, I should not arrange for it that it has to be pulled out of the vat on a chol moed. But let's say I did do that, and I said, I don't care, I'm doing it during Chol HaMoed. And then I pull the flax out on a Chol HaMoed. So the Tana Mishnah says, Yovdu, and then I'm prohibited getting Hana from it. So the question of the Gemara was, so okay, he's prevented from getting Hana. What if the person, the wrongdoer, dies? Is his son also prevented from getting Hana from it? So the Gemara tried to analogize it to the case with the Kohen who puts the nick in the ear of the Bechor, but we said that's distinguishable. Because there is an Easter Derisa, I'm violating Easter Derisa. So even if the son is penalized over there, it's apples and oranges. Here it's Easter and Easter Derabanan, because even if I say the Malacha Chol HaMoed is a Din Derisa, but it's still, this is Malacha Tamar Avid, so that's not going to be Easter Derisa. Then we said, well, on the other hand, what about the case with a person who sells his Eved to Ove Kochavim? So we penalize the son. The son also was obligated to ransom him from the captivity, And if he he escapes, he's got to free him. So he said that's different because there we want to, you know, we don't want somebody to be like he's mufka from mitzvot. In other words, he's a Jewish fellow who can't do mitzvot, and we want to get him out of there. So, but here it's a different. We don't have that. So the Gemara then quotes from working the field in the Shemitah year, not working it, but violating the dinim on a drabbanan level, the Shemitah year, fertilizing the field. So then there's a penalty against the wrongdoer that he can't sow the field in the year after Shemitah. So, but the Gemara says, but that penalty does not go to his son if the person dies. So the Gemara says the same thing should be true here. And then the Gemara says also similarly with Timei Tarotav, if somebody was Metame the Tarot of somebody else and then he died, so the obligation to compensate the injured party doesn't flow to the son. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up? Yeah. He's got two obligations to get him out of slavery, or if the guy escapes from the slave owner, then he's got to free him. He can never come back as a slave. No. In other words, the guy he's working for the non-Jew. So
you want him to go free the guy, but you can never get him back for yourself.
For himself, he can never do it. But the obligation is imposed on the son. Right. And then if he escapes, in other words, like there's a shibud, a kinin mamon and a kinin isur, so he's got to leave. Right. All right. Everybody good? Any questions from the Zoom world? All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. We're up to the next Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. So we're around 20 lines down. So manitin, in lochim batim avadim behim el sarachim away. One can only purchase homes, slaves, means an eved kanani, or behem, an animal, the tzorach ha-moed. In other words, if I need a place to live, I don't have a place to live right now, I can buy the house. So now I have a place to live, so I'm a full moed, and yantiv. Or I need an eved to help, you know, help me around the place, and a full moed. Or behem, I want to buy an animal, maybe to shecht and have a meal. So tzorach ha-moed. Oh, the tzorach ha-moed, she'en l'mayachal. Or if the seller has got nothing to eat, the seller is you know, to down to his last, you know, nothing. So I can purchase these items because the seller is in, you know, dire straits. And even though I don't need it, but the seller needs the money. Maybe I need it, but I might need it for after the moed, but the seller needs the money right now that I could do. All right. So the exception that's coming in here, which we've covered before, is Poel Shein L'ma Yochal, a worker who has nothing to eat, comes under one of the exceptions of Melechet Kol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, "By me name Rav Meir Rav Nachman, Sfar Pu'udah Shein L'ma Yochal Mahu." So in the Mishnah, we dealt with selling a piece of merchandise, an object, and that we said, if the mocher has nothing to eat, he could sell it. That's less of an isur than working. In other words, when you sell the object, you're not doing a malacha, right? You're selling an object. You're not doing a malacha. But what about if I work, can I work and do malacha because I have nothing to eat? That's the question. So he says, we learned the answer to this in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, so he assumes the tzorach ha-mocher would be the needs of the seller, and the she'en lo ma'yokal we think is superfluous. So what is that coming to include? Is that not coming to include that you even get schar pu'ula? In other words, each word of the Mishnah they're weighing carefully. So it would include even working, doing malacha, because you have nothing to eat. So that's the attempted proof that you are allowed to do this. What Rava asked Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is giving this answer. So Rava says back, Amar Lay, lo, Pirusha Kamafarish. Rabbi says, I don't think that's Mukhrach on the Mishnah. I could say the Mishnah is just explaining what it means. It's saying that the Sorach HaMocher, She'en L'mayochal, the seller has nothing to eat, that he could sell it. So we attempted to prove that Paul She'en L'mayochal comes under the exception, even for doing Malacha, and then Rava was Docha the proof. So Eifei Abai asked the question, now it could be in some versions they have Tashma, because Rava really just, you know, kind of deflected the proof that Rav Nachman was propounding. Rava wasn't saying that it isn't the case, but Eifei Abaye is asking a question, or Tashma, he brings the following proof, and it's going to be a proof that you can do work, even though when you call. So Eifei Abaye, in Kofin, welcome Daniel. Okay, so we're on Yud Gimel Mem Aleph, around 10 lines before it gets white. So Eifei Abaye, in Kofin, this is from a Mishnah coming up in a few days, in Daf Yud Chet. The Mishnah says, in Kofin Shtari Chol B'Moed, you can't write an IOU note on Chol B'Moed. He says, V'im Eino Mamino, but I'm the Malveh, and I don't trust, I'm Ruvain, I don't trust Shimon, I need something in writing. Oh, She'ein Lo Mayokal. Or, if he has nothing to eat, we'll have to clarify that, Arezi Yifto, so I can write it. So, She'ein Lo Mayokal Atu Yimai. What is She'ein Lo Mayokal? What case is that coming to include? Meaning, She'ein Lo Mayokal is if the scribe has nothing to eat. So it means, as understood this way, the Mishnah teach me to dinim. If I'm the Malva and I don't trust the Lova, then the Lova needs to borrow money, presumably for Tzarchei Moed, so I can have it written down. But, oh, She'ein Lo Mayokal, or if the Sofer, he has nothing to eat, so the Sofer needs money, I could also have it written down. He says, anyway, so that would be the proof. So Shmamina. So the Gemara says that's a proof that Ein L'mayokal, you could do Malachot if Ein L'mayokal. Now, the Gemara says, Monti Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet asks the Kasha. So again, so we're saying that on Chol HaMoed, if a person has nothing to eat, he can work and do whatever Malachi needs to do in order to get money to support himself. That's what is coming out. Now, the Gemara says, Motiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet asks the Kasha on this from the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. This is in the fourth parak where it says, Makom Shenagu. So if you remember, so on Erev Pesach, nobody does Malachi after Chatzot on Erev Pesach. But remember, in the first Mishnah says, before Chatzot, if the Makom Shenagu, they don't do it, we don't do it. If they do do it, we do do it. Okay? Before Chatzot. So Motiv Rav Sheshet V'chachamim Olim Shoshu Mani Yodo Sim Malachi Ba'arvi Pesachim Ad Chatzot. The Chachamim say that there are three craftsmen, three tradesmen that get to do Malacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzot. Even though the minhag of the place is not to do Malacha, they could do Malacha. And those three are Hachayatim, the tailors, Basaparim, the barbers, Bakovsin, the laundry people. And then, this is a Braisa that the Gemara has now. Hachayatim, this is a Braisa, like relates to the same topic. Hachayatim, the tailors, can hedio tofer darko b'chol shamoed, because on Chol HaMoed, if a person is an unskilled person who sews, he's allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed. In other words, remember we had this in the Mishnah earlier. In other words, if it's not Ma'asei Uman, then I could sew on Chol HaMoed. And then sew for something that I need to wear over Chol HaMoed. Asaparim HaKovsin, the barbers and the laundry people, Shkinabayim Medinat Hayam, people who come from Medinat Hayam, they come from overseas. Bayosim Beit Asurim, a person is released from jail. They have a head there, get a haircut or to launder their clothes. In other words, they didn't have a chance to do it before Chol HaMoed because they were in jail, whatever is doing, or they were traveling by boat. And now that they come on dry land or they're released from prison, they could do it. Now, the Gemara takes it from this that there's a direct sort of sushtel between Melech and Chol HaMoed and what you can do on. Okay, please. And what you could do on Chol HaMoed and what you could do on Erev Pesach. So if I could do it, we think, on Chol HaMoed, then I could do that on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. So since on Chol HaMoed, under certain circumstances, I could sew, I could get a haircut, and I could launder clothes, so too on Erev Pesach, those things I have a free rein to do, we think. Now, the first wide line. The East Altavaita, Sar Pulushin, Lamayokal Shari. If you would assume that a person, a poel shein l'mayokal, he could do malacha to support himself, does kum malachot nami l'shteru, da ikis karpu l'shein l'mayokal. So the question is, so all malachot should be permissible. In other words, there is a way that this malacha would be permitted on a Chol HaMoed. In other words, the Gemara thinks any malacha that that's permissible under certain circumstances in Chol HaMoed, I could do on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara gave the example of the people, the Chayatim, you know, the tailor and the Kopsim and the barbers. So under certain circumstances, I could do that on Chol HaMoed, so that I have a free reign to do on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says now, this is Rav Sheshet is saying, if that's true, that a poel shein lo mayuchal has a free reign to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, he could do any malacha because he has nothing to eat. So he's a poel shein lo mayuchal. He could be bona, he could be soter, he could, you know, he can harvest crops because he's ein lo mayuchal. So if that's the case, so then all the malacha should be permissible on Erev Pesach, if that would be the case. He says, not in this Jew, that eat the scarpula shein lo mayuchal. Or it's, that's the question. So that's the question Rav Sheshet is asking. Then, on the second wide line, Matkif l'Rapapa, Rapapa asks the question, Elamiata binyan listeri. According to Rapapa, building should be permissible in Erev Pesach. Kin kotel agolur should rub, soter bona kedarkum le'asakana. To be said, under certain circumstances, a person could demolish a wall and rebuild it on Chol HaMoed, so he should be allowed to build the bona and soter on Erev Pesach. Matkif l'Ravina, Ravina asked Tasha, Elamiata lavlar listeri. Lavlar is a scribe, not like a sofer, but a scribe. In coping kedushin hashem, gitin v'shobrin, that we write like kedushin hashem, like a star kedushin. We don't use a star kedushin anymore, but you can be mekadesh a woman with a star. And then we would write that on a Chol HaMoed, and gitin we would write on a Chol HaMoed, and a shavar and receipt on a Chol HaMoed. So we thought that Paul Shein Lomayochal has got a blank check to do malacha, but we don't know how to reconcile that with the malacha that we're learning about, the malacha on Erev Pesach. So Ella Amaravashi, Moed Arabasa Karami, you're asking a question between Hilkot Chol HaMoed versus Erev Pesach, Moed Mishum Tirchahu. In other words, the analysis of working on Chol HaMoed is different than the analysis of working on Erev Pesach. We thought initially it's the same. This is El Bazach. The Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Let me say it outside, then we'll say it inside. The Gemara thought it's equal. It's like there's an equivalence. That's the way Rav Sheshet was saying. Chol HaMoed, Erev Pesach, equal, the same. So then we ran into problems about Chol Shein LeMayuchal. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Chol HaMoed, we discussed it. We have five exceptions to doing malach on Chol HaMoed. But on Erev Pesach, the only thing I could do is things that are, in essence, like Sarche Yantiv. In other words, like we would say the equivalent of Sarche Moed. Those are the only things that I could do on Erev Pesach, things that help prepare me for the Yantiv. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Elamar Vashi, Moed Arvasa Karamit, Moed Misham Tirchuhu, Makum Seder Sharabana. In other words, on Chol HaMoed, Chachamim were concerned that we don't want people to, you know, engage in unnecessary exertion. We want them to celebrate the Yantiv and celebrate the Moed. But Malachim Devar Avid is permissible, or Seda. Our Bas are Mishum Sarach Yom Tovu. But the prohibition against working on Erev Yantiv is so people will make preparations for the Yantiv. Midid Sarach Yantiv Shal Rabbanan, Midlat Sarach Yantiv Lo Shal Rabbanan. So the coming were mocking you to do anything which is Sarach Yantiv. So it comes out in the end, if it's Poel She'in L'mayuchal, in Achinami, he could do work on Chol HaMoed. He also could do work on Erev Pesach, but it doesn't mean that everybody else can do that work. In other words, Poel She'in L'mayuchal, he needs the money to celebrate, you know, Yantiv, so he could do the work on even Erev Pesach, but it doesn't mean everybody else can do the malachot that the Poel She'in L'mayuchal could do. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts?
I do.
Okay, what do you got, Fern?
Hi. The poel, are you assuming, where did you, oh, there you are. I think someone did something, but all right.
Yeah, I don't know who did this.
Sharing something.
With you.
Okay. The star kedushin.
Right.
Are you allowed to do Kedushin on Chol HaMoed? I thought you weren't, because you're not supposed to mix the smachot.
Okay, so remember we learned this in the Mishnah, So, but we said that Nisuin wasn't allowed on Tol Moed, right? Ein Ma'ariv and Simcha B'Simcha.
Right, right.
So the Erusin is different, right?
Is that true? Or do you extrapolate the Erusin from the Nisuin?
Okay, listen. Please, quiet. And then we'll do the Mishnah on Tenem Beis. So look at the Mishnah on 8b, okay? The Mishnah says, Einosim Nashim B'Moed. You see where it says it? So Einosim, so we know Nisuin is different than Kedushin. And the big, and because Ein Ma'ariv and Simcha B'Simcha, the big Simcha is with the Nisuin. It's not with the Erusin.
Erusin, and you're allowed to do Gittin, to give a get on Kol Moed?
I guess there's no greater Simcha than that.
I think you're stirring someone's Yontef.
I don't know. Maybe everybody's happy. Maybe everybody's happy. Everybody. Make a good Yontef for everyone. Okay, what else is going? All right, everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on. What's up?
You said that they don't do it today.
Right.
Today is not
No, it's not.
In other words, you have 3 ways to
right.
The woman and so with a contract. Why is it not commonly done today? What's the
No. In other words, you take out a piece of paper and the piece of paper says I ran the Kadesh at Libishtar
Zoo. Why do we not do it? Why is that not an option today?
So I think we want the woman to have the star is not worth anything. I think we want the woman to have like smichas das, like confidence that something is worth something. I'm not sure. Okay, but that's it. Okay, I'm moving on. Everybody good? Okay.
One other thing, before the Yom Tov, people need food, they need wine, they need other things. They only gave you 3 specific things. Maybe in those days, and nowadays, it could be a lot of other things that are necessary.
In other words, if Tabai is not doing malacha, we're talking about doing malacha. So you're not talking about malacha, you're talking about business. So of course you could buy things at Tol Moed. Okay.
What was the question?
Okay, Daniel was asking, first he was asking why we don't do Kiddushin with the star anymore. So I said, I think it's that we want the woman to have smichas das, like she has confidence in what she's getting, but the star is not worth anything. The star is not even worth necessarily Shabbat Pruta. Then he asked, he says, but if you buy things on a different question, can I buy things on Erev Pesach, like food and things like that? I said, we're talking about doing malacha on Erev Yom Tov, not buying food and things like that. Okay, now let's go further. So I got to run, and because running out of time, and the more time we take to take questions, the less time I have to rest the Gemara. Okay, so let's take a look. We're 8 lines from the bottom or whatever on Yud Gimel Aleph. Now, about Ethan. We don't know exactly what the Mishnah means, but we think right now, I can't transfer and do a lot of exertion. Please, everybody needs to mute themselves. I hear people making noise. Let me help you. All right. Now, you're not allowed to transfer. It could be food. It could be Kalim from one house to another house because it's too much of a tirka to transfer these things. Of Almafana Hulachatsero, but you could take something to the Chatsu. We don't understand this. We think it means I can't take from house A to house B and I'm going to go through the Shisarabim, but we think it means I could take from house A and leave it in the Chatsair of where house B is, but it's going to come out not this way. It's going to mean that I can take from a house to the katsa where it's at. You know what I mean? And there was the yard, and there was the shared courtyard. I could bring something out to the shared courtyard. He says, "Amavim kalim bira uman." You can't bring kalim from the craftsman. The craftsman working on it. Maybe I had an axe. He was sharpening it. He says, "Imchoshesh lahem b'fanan lechatzer acher." But if I'm worried about the state, like whether the things will still be around, I'm afraid that somebody's going to steal it. So I'll take it to another chatzir where it's located. But the idea is they shouldn't schlep things all over town. Now, Gemara says, I'm a ratio in Mefan and Klau. So first halacha is I can't be Mefan me by Labai. I can't transfer goods from one house to the other. Then it says I can be Mefan to the chatzir. So I'm a Rabbi, you say if I found the box to the Bai Shva chatzir. It means I could transfer something to buy it in the same chatzir where I'm located. That's the idea. In other words, If it's from a bayit to the chatzer or the chatzer to the bayit, then I'm allowed to do. It's like a short trip. I can't bring kalim from the craftsman's house. I'm our papa, Badik Van Rava. Your papa says Rava was quizzing us. The Mishnah says you can't bring kalim from the craftsman's house. The Ramina, when this we post a contradiction from a Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. It says molichin mevin kalim mibeit ha'uman. That you're allowed to bring to and bring from Kalim Beit Uman, Even though it's not necessary for the yantiv, I could do this. And so we answered. So it's so here. One mishnah says I can't bring kanef mes uman. The other mishnah says I could. So we answered him. The one mishnah is talking about erev Pesach. There I could bring kelim to and from the uman. Here is something about chol hamoed. So the or he says ibay neima, or else I could say tava haba chol hamoed, or I could say they're both talking about chol hamoed. Kan b'mami no, one is where I trust. If I trust the craftsman, then I leave it with him. And if I trust him, I have to leave it with him. I can't bring it out. Kan b'sheina mami no, where it says that I could bring the kelim from him, is I don't trust him, then I could remove it from him. Okay, now turn page on the top line on Megillah Beis. Bahatanya, and Bahatanya is usually a question. Here it's a statement. If you look at the top Rashi, Bahatanya Siyua, which is also different than the usual Rashi. He usually says, Benihuta would be the statement. Here's the Siyua support, but it's a little bit of a different state, you know, language than Rashi would normally use, I think. Bahatanya, the being kelim, this is to support what we said that. That if I don't trust them, I could take it from him. You could bring kelim from the house of the craftsman. He owned kan mit a kadar, like a jug from the jug maker. He says v'kos mit a zagag, and a cup from the glass maker. Aval lo tsemri mit a taba, I can't take wool from the dyer. Means the wool I can't use on chol hamoed. The other things I could use on the moed. In other words, the kelim. The cod I could use on chol hamoed, the kos I could use, but the wool, even though it's dyed wool, has no use on chol hamoed. It has to be processed. Below kelim beit ha'uman, I can't bring the kelim beit ha'uman again. I'm not going to use those on chol hamoed. Then ein lo mayochal, if he, the craftsman, has nothing to eat, obtain those skaro so that I can pay him on chol hamoed, umani chovetlo, and leave the items with him. Then ein lo mami no, but if I don't trust this craftsman, manicho bevada hasavoflo. So I'll leave it in a nearby house. Someone, like, let's say, I don't know, he worked on the table or something like that. He says, or he worked on, you know, my axe. He says, if I'm afraid that the items will be stolen even in that house, the nearby house, so you leave it in a different chatzer. If you don't trust the person there, you'll bring it quietly to your house. You don't want to make a big, you know, tumult about it. People say, oh, look what, you know, Reuben is doing here over the chol hamoed. So we had two mishnayot. One mishnah says, we're focusing on the Beit HaUman. One mishnah said, I can't bring kelim from the Beit HaUman, but I'm afraid of for them, then I can take it. And then the other mishnah said that molichin would be kelim Beit HaUman, the afishin of Sorek Moed, even though it's not necessary for the Sorek Moed. So one shot is that the second mishnah is talking about erev Pesach. That's the one from Arve Pesachim, and our mishnah is talking about chol hamoed. So chol hamoed is more chamor. It's coming out, or it could be they're both talking about chol hamoed, even the one in Pesachim. But it depends on whether you trust the guy or you don't trust him. You don't trust him, you can take it out. So the Gemara says teiratz the mevin. So the Gemara says, yeah, you. So you explained everything in terms of mevin. Whether you're allowed to bring the kelim from the Beis HaUman, molichin kasha, but the molichin, the Mishnah over there says that molichin, I could bring the kelim to the Uman. The second one says molichin as well. So he says to the Mevi'in, molichin kasha, the Tani ein Mevi'in, v'choshkein shei molichin. In other words, our Mishnah says ein Mevi'in, certainly you can't be molich. And that one says that you could be molich. So why would I be able to be molded to the son of chol hamoed? El mefartik to the shani mikar. The Gemara says it's clear the first way. One is talking about erev Pesach. One is talking about chol hamoed. And scratch the last shot that we said. This both with chol hamoed. Well, no, the they're both talking about. One is talking about erev Pesach. One is talking about right. One is talking about chol hamoed. And then on chol hamoed, we said about the trusting and things like that. But the other one in Pesachim is by itself. That's talking about erev Pesach. All right. Who's the questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? All right, let me hear it. Dana's going to ask a question. I'm going to repeat it in 1 second. Go.
If somebody does not trust an Uman, why would you give him a job?
I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Daniel asked, if somebody doesn't trust the Uman, why would he give him the job? I don't know. Maybe he's the last guy in town who does it. I don't know what to say. All right. Maybe the price was right, Daniel. That could be awesome. What? Speak, I can't hear what you're saying. Scream, Malka, scream. Scream at the top of your lungs.
It's leaving it with him once he pays him for it. That's what he doesn't trust him for.
All right.
Not necessarily his skill.
Okay. Daniel likes your answer. Okay. She says that it's leaving with him after he paid the money. For he gave him the money, and now he's got the money. He's got the keli. That's what they don't trust.
Why would you pay somebody?
All right. Okay. I'm gonna keep moving. Okay. Now we're up to the next mission. We're on 10 lines down on your Gimel Beis. Okay. Now, but Ethan, mechapin ratziot bekash on kol moed. You can cover the figs. The figs are out to dry. So if the figs get wet, you're in bad shape. They could get ruined. You want to have them dried. If they get wet, then it's all lost. So mechapin ksiyot bekash, I can cover the ksiyot with kash, with straw. The b'yudo mer af ma'avin. There's going to be a question in the Gemara what af ma'avin means, so maybe I'll leave it till the Gemara gets to it. It says, mochri peiro ksipa kalim, mochri peiro ksipa kalim. People who sell peirot, be fruit or produce or clothing or kelim, mokrim b'tzina tzorach ha'moed. They can sell privately tzorach ha'moed. And again, we'll talk about what that means. Hatsayadim, sayadim is a hunter. It could be like a fisherman could be a tzayad, or a bird hunter would also be a tzayad. But hadashto shod are the people who grind the grains. Grosot, the people who grind the beans. Osin b'tzina tzorach ha'moed. Tzorach ha'moed, but they should do it privately. It's going to come out that they do a large amount, so it looks like it's not for the moed, so they should do it privately. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, hey, that's me, Ratzman. We don't know what this line means either, but it's going to come out that Rabbi Yossi says that they were machmir not to do it at all, even though they were technically allowed, they were machmir not to do it at all. Okay, so the Gemara says, and I have to move on, and so please hold off for a few minutes with questions. So the Gemara says, Pligi ba Rabbi Barab and Rabbi Yossi. This is Malachok Rabbi Barab and Rabbi Yossi. Both of them in the name of Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. Chadamar, mechapin, akluche. Once his mechapin means akluche, means like a thin layer of straw, it means the straw will be like separated, like straw space, to cover the dried fig. Ma'avin, asmuche. Ma'avin, which means thicker, means I'll have like it all covered over, and I'll have, it'll be all covered with straw. So the Mishnah, according to that, would be say mechapin. Rabbi Yud says ach ma'avin. I could do more straw. But Chanamar, the other one says mechapin ben aklushi ben asmuche. That mechapin means to cover with straw, whether it's a loose cover or a tight cover. Ma'avin osel tok ben kri. Ma'avin means I pile. In other words, the figs are out spread across to dry. I'll pick up the figs and gather them up into like a big pile, like a kri, and that helps either that the top layer will protect the lower layer. Or it's easier to cover if it's like in a teepee type of thing. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, we learned the Bryce that supports this. Ma'avin oso tok bin kri, divrei Rabbi Huda. So the Bryce says, Mafurash, that Rabbi Huda, who we quoted the Mishnah, says, Ma'avin means to make it like a kri, like a pile. So that sounds like the second side that we just said. All right, I have 30 seconds for questions right now. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we just did?
Avin is from Avei.
Right, thick. Yeah, correct. Okay, Daniel says, Ma'avin is from thick. I said yes. Okay, what, anything else? Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, we're in the first wide line on the Gimel Beis. Mokre peiruk sipikin, mokre mitzin v'kule. We said the people who sell fruit, the garments, and the kalim can sell sort of quietly. Still or hate, we'd say. Now, Ibailahu, the question was asked, Hinach mir latzman delo abu abdi kla. What is Hinach mir latzman? The last line of the mission says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hinach mir latzman. They were machmir on themselves. So, two possible shatim are, that even though they were technically allowed to do it, they were machmir not to do it at all. That's one shot. Or they really were allowed to do it even openly, but they were machmir to do it b'tzina, like the previous opinion said. That's the question. So he says, does it mean they're not doing this at all? So they're not doing any capturing of animals. They're not, crushing the grains or the beans. He says, Odilma Dhabu Abdu Bitsina, or Himachuna Atzman means the fact that they were doing it privately, that was the Chumrah, because technically they'll have to do it even publicly. So Tashma, so the Gemara tries to improve from the following Brysa. The Brysa says, Mokri Peirok Sufin Kalim, Mokri Bitsina, the Tzorach HaMoed. That the people who sell Peirok Sufin Kalim sell a Bitsina, like privately, or, you know, in a sort of, in a private fashion for the Tzorach HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tagaret Tveria, Hinachmino Atzman, Shul Mokrin called Ikar. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi says the merchants in Tveria were mocking themselves not to sell at all. So that helps, you know, shore up that opinion. Saidei Chayot Ba'ofot V'dagim, Sadim Tzinan Tzorach HaMoed. Then similarly, the people who capture wild animals, birds, and fish would do it privately in Tzorach HaMoed. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tzadi Ako, Hinachmino Atzman, Shul Tzadim Kol Ikar. Says the tzaddi, the people who are the hunters in Akko, you know, or the fishermen, whoever the people, they didn't do it at all. Then Shoshe Chilka Tirgis Batisni, the people who would pound, and we'll see Chilka Tirgis and Tisni, we're going to define in a minute. Doshishim Batsina, they do it privately, the Sarach HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shoshe Tipura, Hinach Minulatzman, Shul Doshin Kol Ikar. So it's clear, and this is not to do it at all, is what Rabbi Yossi said. So it seems pretty clear, and Rabbi Yossi is the Tana who says Heimach Miral Atzman. So it seems pretty clear then that Heimach Miral Atzman means that even though the Tana Mishnah holds Yidu Bitsina, Rabbi Yossi says that there were Machmir, not through it all. And the article they quoted from the Yerushalmi, let me get this Yerushalmi out. They quoted, yeah, please, in note 16, it says Yerushalmi on Daf 10 or days, Yerushalmi says that. The fishermen in Tveria didn't do any fish. Although they've been into trap fish covertly, they took astringency upon themselves and they refrained from fishing at all and pulled them away. The Yerushalmi relates that Rabbi Ami cursed these fishermen for their excessive piety, diminished the joy of the festival for the residents of Tveria who without fish for the festival. So Rabbi Ami felt like this chumrah, but it doesn't work out so well because now nobody can celebrate the Yantar properly. Okay, let me keep moving and then I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Now, I'm everybody with me around the 10th, the 8th wide line.
All of them. Okay, but what's the killing of Sina?
Wait.
All of them.
Okay, just one second. Wait. Mokrim and Sina and Tzorach HaMoed. So it's Mokrim, Ibadu Hainach. Yeah, so we said, so the Bryce said Mokrim Peiro, Mokrim and Sina. The first, the third wide line. Rabbi Yossi Meir Tagarei Tveria, Hinach Minal Atzman Shlo Yimokrin. It's from everything from Mokri Peirot going down. Okay, now let's take the back of the Gemara. Now Amar Abaye. Now we're going to explain those terms that we mentioned, Chilka and Targis and everything else. So Amar Abaye, Chilka Chal the Tarte. Abaye says Chilka is when you take the grain and you pound it into two, you break it into two. In other words, the grain is soaked and then you pound it into two pieces. That's Chilka. Targis chad al tlat. Targis, I take one grain, I break into three parts. Tisni chad al yarba. Tisni, I take the grain, I break into four parts. Okay, ki ata Rabdimi. Rabdimi came from Eretz Israel. Amar kunta. He said, Rabdimi said, a chilka doesn't mean a grain was broken into two parts. It says that chilka means spelt, kusemet. He says, what does the Rashi say here? Kusemet, shlotinotan. In other words, if I have the spelt and I soak the spelt, that's what chilka is. So Mefei, from this we have kasha from the following braisa. The braisa says, chilka targis v'tisne t'mein b'chol makom. The chilka targis and tisne are susceptible to tumah in every place. So it means like this. The Gemara, this is the Mishnah from Masechet Machshirin. So the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that let's say I have flour. So if the flour is processed in the city, so then I assume that the people in the city, they like the grains washed before the flour is processed. So mamela, the flour is makabel tumah, because that's have one of the machshirim, one of the seven liquids on it ahead of time. If it's flour from the kfarim, so they're not so particular about washing the grains beforehand. So mamela, it's not makabel tumah. But notwithstanding that, the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin says Chilka Targis V'Tisni K'mei B'Kol Makom, that these grains that we spoke about, the two grains, the three grains, the four grains, they're tamei every place. So the Gemara says Bishleim L'Manda, or it's susceptible to tumah in every place, whether it's from the city or from the villages. Bishleim L'Manda Mar Chad of the Tarte L'Tal Liar Ba'am. So according to the first opinion, which is Abaye, that said that Chilka and Targus and Tisnei mean whether it's broken into two or three or four. Mishmahachi Tmei Bechol Makom did Kashur. So the time in every place is they went to a Hechsher, they were washed off ahead of time and then pounded, so they're Mekabel Tuma. Ilamad Bar Kunta, but according to Rav Dimi, Chilka is really Kunta, which is spelt. This is Amayit Tmei Bechol Makom. Hello with Kashur. Why would the spelt be susceptible to Tuma and then would go to a Hechsher? So the Gemara says, and on behalf of Rav Dimi, going to Mekalfin, he loved the Shari Luhubamai, lo have a Mekalfa, that it was washed in water in order to remove the husk from it. In other words, even the spelt, that they would wash it in water to remove the husk. He says, V'yamai kari la chilka, why taka was it called chilka? Chilka usually would divide into two. Shakel chilkayu means that I'm able to remove, you know, chilkayu and make it smooth. In other words, once the husk is removed, it's chalak. It was chilka not from dividing something, but chilka is smooth. So chilka is like the smooth spelt because the husk has been removed, and the husk was removed by soaking it in water. Okay, now, Meipe, so again, we're still focusing on Rav Dimi's pshat that chilka could be spelt. So Meipe, anoder min adagan, asura papula mitzri yabesh, mutar balach. Let's say a person made a nether that he's not going to have dagan. Dagan we usually translate as grain. So it's machlokin in the Gemara, in Remeir and the Chachamim. Chachamim hold that dagan is just the five grains. Remeir holds that it's anything which is piled up in a pile like dagan. So this Mishnah, which is going like Remeir, or looks like Tosefta, he says, Hanodim and dagan asura papula mitzri, that if you take a nether that grain is going to be prohibited to you. So your asr also pula mitzri yavesh, the dry pula mitzri, the dry Egyptian bean, because that's piled up like grains are piled up. Mutar balach, mutar ba'orez, the chilka b'tirgus for tisni. But you're allowed to have the moist, or the fresh Egyptian bean that's not piled up in the same way. You're allowed to have orez, we usually say is like rice, and chilka, tirgus, and tisni is the three things we spoke about. So, b'shlim l'man demar, chad of the tarte, chad of the flat, b'chad of the arba'a, chapir. So, if I assume like the first shot, which was abaye, the chilka, tirgus, and tisni mean the grain that's been broken to two, three, or four, shop, it makes sense. Chapir, then after who we tore dagan. In other words, they're not dagan anymore because, in other words, they're not piled up in a pile like dagan is piled up once it's broken up into two, three, or four. Only the grain is piled up. That's what he says. He says, el'man demar kunta, dagan malyu, but according to the opinion that says spelt, which is Rav Dimi, so spelt is a grain under whichever way you consider it. So the Gemara says kasha. That works out difficulty for Rav Dimi's hesber. All right, I have to run right now. Rav Huna shari luhulanau krupiata v'mezel zabunei kirachayu b'shuka. Rav Huna permitted these spice sellers to go sell the way they normally do in the marketplace in the Chol HaMoed. Efe Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana posed the following contradiction from the Braisa. If the store is open in the stav is like a little like where the benches are around, but a little like alcove on the side of the Shisha Rabim, so then you can open up the store in the regular fashion of Chol HaMoed. But if the store opens up on the Shisha Rabim, the public thoroughfare, you open one door and leave one door closed, but on the Erev Yontov, the last day of the Chag, certainly with Shmini Atzeret, it might mean the last day of Yom Tov Pesach as well. Then you could put everything out. He says, because out of Kabbalah, the last day of Yom Tov means that, like when you have a lot of fruit, so it looks like it's doing not for the Moed. In other words, people buy lots of fruit. So it looks like they're doing it not for the Moed. So I have to do kind of more Shtiller Hay. But everybody, last day of Erev Yom Tov, everybody understands everybody buys a lot of fruit for Yom Tov. So he says, make four yom tov achron in, shlom make four yom tov lo. So it says like I can only open up, you know, fully for four yom tov achron. So how is it that Rav Huna permitted the spice sellers to go sell all their spice on the Chol HaMoed? It sounds like without any, you know, limitation when you only sell without limitation on Erev yom tov achron. So he says, make four yom tov achron in, shlom make four yom tov lo. Location, have a pay rate, have a tablet. So it's the difference between the pay road and the tablet. Pay road, people buy in mass volumes. So that's only allowed on Erev Yom Tov Achron. But betavlin, the spices, people buy small amounts of spices, it's clear they're buying just for the moed. That I could do even on Chol HaMoed, that I could sell the small spices without limitation, because people only buy small amounts. So, in other words, they buy a large volume in one day, but it looks like they're buying it for even after Yontif. But it might be that they're just buying it for Yontif, but it looks like people viewing them. So we said on Chol HaMoed, you have to do it like Betzina. But on Erev Yom Tov Achron, you're allowed to, because everybody understands that everybody buys a lot of food on Erev Yom Tov Achron. Okay, now, how do I have more I want to do? Let me just do the first line. Ilm Gacham Moed, Abba Mila Yom Beda Shev Yom, Vayosu Hed Asurim. How can you get their hair cut on Chol HaMoed? If you came from Dina Layam, from away from the seas, Beda Shev Yom, you were captured by non-Jews, Vayosu Hed Asurim, or you were in a Jewish prison, you can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. All right, now, this parak of Eilu Galchen has many of the dinim of Avelos, but it's coming up. Okay, again, learning tonight was Lulu Neshama of Debbie Wellner's sister, Reza Bat Eliyahu, said for another bracha. Okay, I'm going to say goodbye right now. Sorry, I had to go. The more questions we have in the beginning, the less time we have at the end. Okay, so let me just end the recording.